Amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. God bless you, Brother Robert. Bless your heart.
Thank you, Brother Rackley, for that song, Sister Rackley. I was thinking while they were singing that, what the Lord Jesus said there when he said that, to whom much is forgiven, much he'll love. And to whom little is forgiven, little he'll love. And you know, some of us, I guess, there's none of us good, none righteous, no, not one, the Bible said, and we know that's right. We're all sinners. But some of his life had reached a depth that others of us hadn't reached. And mine had went way down. I was way down in sin and deep in sin and could not set myself free no matter how hard I tried. But I sure remember that night, thank God that the Lord Jesus set me free. He made me free, and I appreciate that. I have much tonight, much. I was telling the Lord yesterday in prayer, if you know, honestly, folks, and I'm not trying to sound preachy or you know, kind of sound like a preacher, but if all God had done for us in our life was delivered us from sin, that is enough to praise God world without end, that He saved us and delivered us from our sins. What a wonderful thing that is. Thank you, Brother Robert, for letting us come back this year. I trust God will help us this evening. Let's all stand, if you will. I enjoyed all the singing. I appreciate that good singing that opened the meeting up. I dread having to preach the first message in any meeting. It's always, I don't know, somehow either sets the tone or drops the ball, you know. And I kind of dread that. And I know folk are hungry, wanting to get over to eat, and I'll try not to keep you too long. I'm reminded standing here about a fifth grade class. It was their last class in the year and the last day of school. And the teacher said on the last day, we're going to discuss religion, different religions, and see what everybody's beliefs are. And said, then you can bring some kind of something. We'll have a show and tell in the time of it. And so they got up, and the first little boy got up, and he said, I'm a Catholic. And he said, my priest and cardinals takes care of the meeting. And he said, here is for my show and tell some beads where we have rosary beads. And the teacher said, that's good, son. And then the second little boy got up, and he said, I'm a Buddhist. And he said, my monk kind of takes care of everything. And he said, for show and tell, I brought a picture of Buddha. And the teacher said, that's good, son. And the third one got up, and he said, I'm a Baptist. And he said, my preacher takes care of the meeting. And he said, this is a casserole dish. You ought to get it that after a while. You ought to get that after a while. 1 Samuel chapter 7. I think every preacher in here understands what I'm about to say. You wish when you come to these meetings, I'm kind of an expository type preacher. I preach 95% of the time in an expository way. And I don't preach well with a kind of a text type deal. But we all like to preach something that we could just feed somebody with. But all day, I just had a simple thought on my heart. That's all I can get, and I want to mind the Lord. I'd rather know I minded God than anything else. And I just got a simple thought here that I believe it. I know, I don't believe, I'm certain this is what God would have for this hour. 1 Samuel chapter 7, please. 1 Samuel chapter 7. I will try to get on with it. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Good to see some old friends throughout the faces today. 1 Samuel 7, verse number 1. The Bible said, and the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord, and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill, and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only. And He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Baalim and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he may save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel. And thank God, the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house. And there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. Let's bow to pray. Father, in Jesus' name this evening, Lord, it's been stated already by the pastor, dear Lord, that only you know, God, the needs that are in this meeting, both tonight and tomorrow. And God, I know that we did not come, Lord, just to see one another. God, we came to get help. And Lord, I'm reminded of what my wife said coming in the car today. Dear Lord, when she said that things are so bad today, that Lord, just a little word of encouragement is a great help. And dear Lord, I pray tonight, dear God, in Jesus' name, Lord, let me be a little encouragement. Dear God, I pray that you'd help me, not for me, but dear Lord, for the name of our Lord and the cause of our wonderful Savior. I pray, dear God, tonight that you'd help us to hear the Word of God. I pray, Lord, somehow that somebody that's carrying a load here tonight, God, they would be helped in this meeting. And God, they would receive the encouragement and the strength that they need to return to wherever they're from. And God, to go back and do the work that you've called each one of us to do. Please help us tonight. I'm unable. I want you to know, God, that I recognize, Lord, my total inability tonight. God, I'm totally dependent upon the grace of our God, Lord, to help us in this Thy meeting. Thank you for Brother Robert and this good church. Bless them and help them, Lord, for their desire to host this meeting. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I want to preach for a few minutes this evening. I want to draw two pieces of verses here. Nothing that you've not heard. It won't be anything deep. But I just feel I could be the mind of God, Brother Rudy, for this evening. I want to look at verse number 6 and draw just a piece of that. He said, and they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day.
Now I want to look over at verse 12, where our major part of our thinking's from. He said, "Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shechem, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." I want to preach tonight on when our emptiness becomes our Ebenezer. When our emptiness becomes our Ebenezer. Have you ever felt empty before the Lord? I don't know about you. I wish I didn't have to say that. I meet some of these folks, and especially these folks that drive these big singing buses, amen. And they're all the time talking about how they live up on the mountain all the time. They're never empty. They never have any difficulty. Well, that's just not my story. I wished it was, but there have been many times that I've just been emptied before the Lord. How about you? If you look at this text, I'll come to what I want to say in a minute. But you notice what they had lost. These are dark days in the life of Israel. Notice what they've lost. If you go back to chapter 4, I'm not going to read the text, all of it. But there are two battles fought in chapter number 4. In verse number 3 or 2 it is, 4,000 are put to death. In verse number 10, another 30,000 died in a battle. They've lost the protection of God. They've lost God's protection upon them. And they suffered great loss. And it seems to me, I was praying the other night even at our church. I asked Dr. Joe Bryant yesterday, who preached at our church. I asked Dr. Bryant, I said, "Preacher, do you think it's possible for the devil to so get his foot in a church that the hand of protection of God, even in a physical way, can be removed from a congregation? And have you ever seen a time when so many people just sick, and you try to have a meeting and seem like the protective hand of God, he just taken off that thing? Can I get a witness out there tonight? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Seem like you start going into a meeting and seem like the devil just gets in or something. I don't understand all that I'd like to understand about it. But I know this. They had lost the protective hand of God on them. Not only they lost the protection of God, they lost the presence of God. If you look in chapter 4, I'm coming to something here. In chapter 4, Ichabod, you know, has been born. And the glory of God has departed. The visible presence of God has been withdrawn from the people. Have you ever seen a day when it seems like the presence of God has been lost from our church? I mean, it seems like no matter where you go, it's just not like it used to be. Hello out there. Come on now. Come here, buddy. Amen. And it seems like that the presence of God. You do understand this. It's that when the presence of God left, that visible cloud of God had left with the ark of God. And then this seemed like they lost the pardon of God. Have you ever thought about this? I'm coming to something just in a minute. Have you ever thought about this? That when that ark left, they couldn't even have atonement day. They had no ark to sprinkle the blood on. And it seemed like their sin was just mounting up. They've lost God's protection. They've lost God's presence. And they've lost God's pardon. And things are just getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. The ark is now gone. And it's been gone for 20 years. It's talking here about what they've lost. But then secondly, I can note what they lamented. Look in chapter 7, verse number 2. The Bible said, "And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord." You know what's making them start lament? Amen. Oh, Samuel has been faithful to his job. For 20 years, he's been preaching, "If you'll just get right with God, if you'll just get right with God, the presence of God will come back, and the protection of God will come back, and the power of God will come back, if you'll just get right with God." And after many years of Samuel's preaching on repentance and return to the Lord, one day it began to bother them, and they began to lament, and they began to cry over their situation. Hey, friend, there'll never be a move of God until somebody gets to getting hungry and gets to lamenting and gets to crying out for God to do something again. You've got to listen. It'll never happen till we first start missing what we've lost. we'll not start lamenting till we start missing what we've lost. They begin to lament. Well, in verse number 6, there is their contrition. They pour their water out. Look here, I won't pour this out. But what that said in essence, I'm coming to my text in a minute. What that said in essence is, we've just emptied ourselves. There's nothing left in us anymore. There's their contrition. There's their confession. There's their cry. There's their consecration. There's their clearing in this verse. And they've got right with God. And they said, Samuel, we need to get God back on us. We need to get God back on us. Well, there's what they lamented. And there's what they lost. But let me say this. There is how they were liberated. Look here what God did. Verse number 10. And Samuel was offering up the burnt offering. The Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day. Oh, thank God. God rescued them. Amen. You know what we need tonight? We need God to step in. Amen. And rescue us from the mess that we've got ourselves in. It's bigger than I can fix. And it's bigger than you can fix. And it's bigger than anybody else can fix. But God, in a divine way, stepped in. That battle that day was not won by military might. It was won by repentance in returning to God and God only. And so we see God rescued them. Verse 11, God re-strengthened them. Verse 14, God restored them. And then in verse 14 again, they had peace. God gave them rest. Don't that sound like a pattern of revival for you? Amen. Now, here's what I want to preach on though. When our emptiness becomes our Ebenezer, God's moved in again. Amen. You may not get a hold of this like we ought to tonight. But friend, if you'd been living in Israel for 20 years without a word from God and the ark of God and no voice of the Lord and things look bad, then no, thank God that God had moved again. There'd be a stirring in that thing. And so I just want to say 5 simple things. Oh, Samuel, when God delivered him, Samuel set that stone up. And he said, hitherto has God helped us. To this point, God's helped us. Let me say 3 things about that. Let me say number 1, the setting of that stone was a statement of faith. It was a statement that God has helped us this far. Amen. And said, hey, if God's done it this far, we can depend on God to do it the rest of the way. God didn't bring us this far to leave us where we are now. It's a statement of Samuel's faith. May I ask you tonight, have you ever been emptied? And you're looking, I'm just trying to pick my way through this. You're looking at a very grim future. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what the situation's going to be the next day. But Samuel said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to, as a statement of my faith, I'm just going to set this stone up and say, God has helped us this far. Amen. And I'm going to go ahead and say that God is not going to let us down now. Let me say 5 things about that statement of faith. Let me say, number 1, these are just simple things. I believe it's what God has us to say. Number 1, may I say God has helped us with our belief this far. He's helped us with our belief this far. Amen. You listen. Can I just slow down a minute? You remember when you was lost and you didn't believe? Now, I hear Brother Robert, I hear some folk talk about how they just got saved. They went to church and they never heard anything, and the preacher preached, and they come to the altar, and they got saved. And I thank God for that. That's wonderful. It didn't happen like that for me. I had a hard time getting saved. Now, I don't mean as God's part as my part, understand. I had a hard time. Just stay with me now. I believe what God said about sin. I believe what God said about hell. I believe what God said about everything in the Bible. But I just couldn't trust. I just could not believe. It was like are you listening at me? It was like darkness was over my life. No matter what I tried, there was doubt down inside. A preacher said to me recently about his wife. He said, I don't believe my wife has 1 ounce of faith. You remember when you couldn't believe? Are you listening to me? Are you there a minute? You remember when you couldn't believe. You tried to believe, but you couldn't believe. I remember that night, thank God, when I got out on my knees. Amen. All I could do was just say, Lord, all I know to do is plead the blood. I heard somebody say, just plead the blood. I didn't know what all that meant. I didn't understand that. But I tell you what, friend, it worked for me that night. I couldn't believe. I didn't know how to believe. I had no faith to believe with. Amen. But I got down that night and I kept saying, Lord, it was about 30 minutes of it. I kept saying, dear Lord, I just plead the blood. Lord, I'm in such a mess. I'm in such a shape. I can't fix myself up. I can't quit sinning. I can't get right with God. I can't believe. I know you're going to send me to hell. I know I'm going to hell. Lord, I can't believe. I plead the blood. 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 And went on about 30 minutes. I'm telling you, if I never get out of this building, about 30 minutes later, there was light broke through into my dark soul. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Light broke in. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about with the natural eye seeing a vision. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Now, I'm talking about God help me believe that night. Amen. God help me cast everything over on the back of the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that He had died in my place and died for my sin. If God helped you believe back there, He'll help you believe now. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm saying He helped our belief this far. Has the devil ever attacked your belief? When we were sinners, He helped us believe. When we were struggling, He helped us believe. You remember that old boy over there? Jesus come down out of the mountain, and that old boy had been many years cutting himself and throwing himself in the fire, and the disciples couldn't heal him. Amen. You remember that? He said, Lord, your disciples can't do anything. He said, Lord, if you can, would you do something for me? And the Lord said, all things are possible to him that believe. But sometimes you get so weak you just can't believe. Amen. Am I helping anybody? Anybody listening to me? I don't know about you. I've been there. Excuse me. Forgive me. I've been lack of faith all the time. I don't see anybody over here moving mountains. Amen. Yeah. There have been a million times in my life I've had to say, Lord, I believe. But dear God, would you help my unbelief? When trouble rises in the church, people turn against you. Your home's caving in. The devil's walked in the back door and kicked your door in. Everything looks like it's going to cave in. And you can't think like you're going to make it another day. And your faith gets weak. Just go ahead and raise your Ebenezer and say, Lord, you helped me believe up to this point, and you're going to help me believe on.
Have you ever been there? Some years ago, I still have it. I had a big old thing to come up right there. It started when I was preaching Brother Barry Rackley, brother of revival. And I had a big old thing to come up right under there. And it looked like it was going to be cancer. And the devil got a hold of me night after night after night, and I laid and I cried. And the devil said, I'm going to shut you down. You're going to have to quit preaching. You'll preach no more. You're going to have your voice box taken out. And I'm telling you, friend, it's a hard day for me. You may have not gone through a trial like that. It's a hard day for me. But one day I just had to raise my Ebenezer and say, God, you helped me believe this far. I'm going to trust you. Thank God. Like Job, thank God. I don't know how everything's going to be, but I'm going to trust Him and believe anyhow. He helped us believe when we're sinners. I told you this is simple. He helped us believe when we're sinners. He helped us believe when we're struggling. He helped us believe when we were sinking. Old Simon Peter stepped out there on the water one day and began to sink. Amen. I just feel like tonight, God seemed like squeezed my heart before I went to bed last night. Somebody's here struggling tonight with your faith, and you don't know what to do, and the devil's about to eclipse your faith. I'm telling you, God has helped you believe to this point in your life. Don't give up your faith now. Don't quit believing now. I've heard many a person say in the last few years, the way things look,
I've heard people say this more than one time. I don't know what I believe anymore. I used to. Brother Rudy, I'm a serious. When I first started preaching, I'd hear people talk like that, and I just about ready to jump on them. That was a whole lot of days ago. That was a whole lot of trials ago. That was a whole lot of people stabbing me in the back ago. That was a whole lot of sleepless nights ago. That was when I had better health. That was when everything was going very good at the church. If you don't think, or you listen to me tonight, if you don't think the devil can walk in and try to steal your faith, Jesus said, Simon Peter, the devil has tried you. He's going to put you in sieve and sift you if he can. I pray for you that your faith fail not. He's saying this. He said, it may be that a trial will come that's so severe that it'll almost keep you or stop you from believing. Are you listening? Are you listening? You say, I don't know what you're talking about, preacher. Well, it may be that you're getting ready to find out. I was preaching in a meeting about 4 years ago. I got a hurry. I preached one night and no great big nothing happened. Nothing, you know, great. You couldn't go off and say, boy, I mean, God really done something there tonight. It's a good meeting, but you know, just nothing extraordinary happened. The next year, I was at the same church in a meeting, and on Tuesday night, a man pushed his wife in a wheelchair. And he said, preacher, you remember me? I said, no, I'm sorry, brother, I don't. And he said, last year, he said, you preached here on a certain soul subject. And he said, I didn't know that you was preaching to me. He said, 2 weeks later, my wife was in a severe car accident. He said, she just got out of the hospital 3 weeks ago. And he said, before God, preacher, he said, the only thing that's kept me going was that message that night. How God will put your faith sometimes in a trial. Oh, listen to me, if I don't get the rest of this preached, sometimes your faith gets attacked. Amen, friend. Your faith is attacked. But He's helped us. He said, God, You've helped us this far. You'll help us the rest of the journey. It's a statement of faith. Say secondly, quickly, not only God helped us with our belief this far, God's helped us with our burdens this far. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody go to meeting with me a minute? God's helped us with our burdens this far. I've had a lot of burdens in life, haven't you? Oh, yes, I have. But I'll tell you one thing, friend. I found out every burden I ever carried, I could cast it on the back of the dear Son of God, casting all your care, not just one or two of your burdens. But praise God, pick up the whole load and cast every bit of it, casting all your care on the Lord, for He careth for you. He's helped us bear our burdens this far. You didn't get here tonight because of some great saint that you are. If you think so, you have an experience coming. You didn't get here tonight because you're intelligent and wise. Because you're some kind of a strong guy. I'll tell you why you got here tonight. Because all those burdens that come through your life with family and friends and flesh and faith and finances and foes and all them burdens that come in your life, you got here. Thank God, because the Lord helped you bear them and God helped you carry them. I'm telling you, thank God. I know God can lift them off your back and pick them up and bear them for you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. About 9 years ago, in one meeting, we had 42 to get up and walk off and leave us. 42. It about killed me. I'm just honest with you. It about broke my heart, Brother Rudy. My wife cried. I cried. I went every day. I went to my study every day. And I got down beside of my couch. If I was at home, I went to the church study, and I'd get down beside the couch, and I prayed for them at least twice a day, every day. God bless them. God put it in my heart that this trial is not about them. It's about me. It's about how am I going to respond. There was nights, Brother Robert, I remember, I don't know why I'm preaching like this. I remember the next service after they left on the next Sunday, Brother Robert. I remember. I went back to church. And I can't explain it. Don't expect me to explain it. I can't. I had to hold to the pulpit. I was trembling so bad. I thought I was going to have a nervous breakdown. I carried that and I carried that. And I remember one night when I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I just can't bear this no more. I just can't carry that no more. God, it's killing me. God, it's killing me. It's breaking my heart. Lord, you've got to help me. And I can't explain it. I can't explain it. I'm telling you, God come into that room. I'm not talking about in 6 hours or 6 days. I'm talking about a matter of minutes. God come in. God lifted that load and gave me grace and strength to rise above that trial. God has helped us with all of our burdens this far. Pastor, you think God is going to let you die under that load? He's helped you this far. You remember when you was a young preacher and you didn't know what to do? He helped you back then. You remember when you got a little more sense and you thought you knew how to do it and you learned that you hadn't found it out yet? And He helped you then. Then you got to thinking if you could ever preach about 25 or 30 years and get all that experience under your belt, you'd know how to handle all that stuff. Then one morning you woke up and your body started breaking on you and you wasn't able to do what you once did. And you still don't know how. I was laying in a motel room in Trenton, Georgia the other day preaching revival for Steve Goolsby. I've got a heart problem. Pretty severe. I was laying there and I was having chest pain so bad. It went on for 4 hours. I mean, I have never hurt in my entire life the way I hurt that night. I finished over to pick up the phone. I was going to call Steve and say, Preacher, you got to come get me and take me to the emergency room. I'm having chest pains so bad. Boy, laying there in that bed, I got to praying. I said, Lord, I don't want to call that preacher. He's tired. I just got up and sat on the couch a minute. And I said, God, I know without any shadow of any doubt in my mind that if you want to touch me, you can do it. I'm not talking about Benny Hinn stuff. I'm talking about still believing God. And I got up and I just sat down on that couch and I pulled a blanket over my shoulders. And I said, God, I put my hands up and I said, God, I know you can touch me if you want to. And if I die in this building, I felt it. It started right there. And in 30 seconds, it sunk down and it's gone. I got up, went to bed, and slept like a baby. I'm telling you, friend, it's time that we start believing our God again and let God be God in our lives. He's helped me bear my burdens this far. I believe He'll help me again. He's helped me with my belief. He's helped me with my burdens. Let me hurry real quickly. He's helped me with my battles this far. Brother Austin, good to see you. This young man over here in the family beside my wife and I, they go over in Waynesville, North Carolina, Brother Dwight Banks. They drove over tonight to be with us. Brother Austin, when you was in Iraq, you wrote me a letter. You remember what verse you signed? You remember it? Exodus 15:3. It's a verse you'd sign about all the time. And the verse says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. I want to tell you, friend, I've seen God step in a lot of battles before that I've been in. He helped me win my battles to this point. I believe He'll help us with our battles the rest of the journey. Are you here tonight, preacher, and you're going through a battle? He's helped you this far.
Yes, he has.
Amen. He's helped you when the community and the church turned against you. He's helped you when that religious crowd's turned against you. Several years back, I got to preaching down at Emory and Henry College over there home, which is a kind of a turn into a pier. It's where old, what's that old Methodist preacher? I can't even think of his name right now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Sheffy. Sheffy started. I mean, a great preacher Sheffy was. It's pure liberal now. They're letting the boys and girls shack. They're letting them have a dorm together now. They can shack up together in the dormitory. I got to preaching there a few years ago, and they laid switches on my porch, and I'd go in there, and the football team got me in. I went in there one night to preach. They said, we're going to key if we can get our hands on you. I'm telling you the truth. Had it not been for the quarterback, who was about 6'4", lost. Come here a minute. He's a little about your size, a little bigger. Lost, old boy. They told me. I stood there and preached. They said, we're going to key if we can get our hands on you. Whole bunch of them. The quarterback come. Got right in front of me. He said it. I'm sorry, you got a back problem, ain't you?
No, I'm
a... You're all right, man? What if I hit you real good? Yeah. And the quarterback got in front of me and said, lay a hand on the preacher, you got to go through me.
Amen.
He walked me to the car. Put me in the car. Amen. You say, well, that ain't nothing. Well, you ought to have been the one standing there as small and short as I am. And some of them dudes, 6'4 and 6'5, said they're going to kill you. I didn't feel too plucky that night. Who you reckon touched that old boy's heart? I said, amen. Who you reckon touched that old boy's heart to stand up and help me that night? I'm telling you, God has helped us with our battles this far. He'll help you right on. He's fought a many a battle. For you and I. I think about Psalm 30 where David said, the Lord hath kept me alive. Are you listening at me? I got to close pretty quickly. The Lord hath kept me alive. Why do you reckon you're still alive tonight? I wonder if the Lord had anything to do with the fact that you're still here tonight. Who was it when millions of babies died in Egypt? One was kept alive down there in a little bulrush. The Lord kept him alive because He had a purpose for him. Amen! When Daniel stole the lion's den, who was it that kept Daniel alive? Who was it that kept the three Hebrew boys alive? Paul talked about in Acts 26 and all the things that had befell him in his life. He said, nevertheless, I continue to this present day. I just keep doing what I'm doing. You know why? I won't tell you why tonight. I'm about to have me a spell, bless God. I'll tell you why tonight. Because thank God, the Lord's the one's going to fight our battles. Amen. He's going to take care of us and watch over us wherever we're at, whatever we're doing. The devil can't bother you in the will of God. He cannot destroy you. He's helped us, Brother Barber, with our battles this far. I remember the first battle I had. I got to hurry. I got to quit here. I remember the first battle I had as a young pastor. We had an old boy who sat over here on the right. He just sat there, and no matter what you'd preach, he'd look at his wife, and if she said it was all right, he'd say amen. He would, and he'd look at her, and he'd say, amen. He was trouble with a capital T. One Sunday I come to church, I hadn't been pastoring long, wasn't even married. And I come to church and I looked at him that morning, and the Lord whispered to my heart and said, Reed is going to throw a fit on you today. I knew it was coming. And I knew Reed. And I knew it'd be a bad one if God had already warned me. It was just a small little old church. And they had a little old stoker coal room downstairs where they throwed coal in the furnace to keep thing heat. It's the only room in the building that didn't have nobody in it. So I thought, well, I'll go get in the coal pile. And I'll pray during the Sunday school hour. And I got in behind that furnace and I got plugged in, son. That old furnace got loud to where nobody could hear me. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. Sunday school's over. God spoke to my heart to preach on John 3:16 on the love of God. I come back up and I preached on the love of God. Reed sat over there like a big blowing viper. We went out the door,
And when he went out the door, he looked at me like this. See, preacher. He went on to the car. About everybody left, and he come back. He's crying like a baby. Tears dropping out of his eyes. And he looked at me and he said, "Preacher, I come to church mad this morning. I don't know what it's mad about, it's just mad." He said, "I was going to bawl you out." He said, "But during Sunday school, something got a hold on me." He don't know to the day what happened. I never did tell him. When he left, I just said, "Hallelujah. Amen! Amen! God is going to fight our battles! Quit thinking you've got to fix everything! Quit thinking that battle win or lose is on your shoulders. It's not up to you. This is God's battle. God's helped us this far. He'll help us on." Let me say another thing fourthly. Only God helped us with our belief this far. God's helped us with our burdens. He's helped us with our battles. Listen to this. He's helped us with our blunders. Now, I know y'all ain't never made none of them. Blunders. Oh, I've made so many, I wish God would help me to forget them. I look back at some of them, I fussed at my people when it wasn't nothing but my pure old ignorance. I know y'all ain't that way now. Some of them was just my stupidity. Oh, I've made some bad ones. I've blundered right in the middle of the road and fell flat on my face. But I tell what I've learned. He's helped me every time I fell. Every time I messed up, crooked down, didn't go right, didn't handle things right, and messed up, blessed be God. He picked me up and put us back in the battle and forgave us and helped us go on. He's helped us with our blunders in sin, our blunders in service. I made a lot of them preaching to you. Have you ever make any blunders preaching? I've got to close here. I remember once I was preaching. I'd been preaching about a year. I was preaching once on David. Man, I was plugged in, I thought. I was preaching on David. I got to preaching on the sin of David. I said, David's sin, here's what he did. David's sin, what is that? He committed adultery with Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. People sitting there grinning. I said, "Did you hear what I said? David committed adultery with Uriah, Bathsheba's husband." Everybody got to life, and the more they laughed, the more I messed up. My wife and I were courting at the time. She was in the service. We got in the car, and I said, the first thing I said, "What did I say?" She said, "You probably don't even want to know." I said, "What did I say?" She said, "You said that David committed adultery with Uriah, Bathsheba's husband." I said, "No wonder they laughed." Did you ever wonder why, preacher, they didn't vote you out? I'm serious as a heart attack. I guess if I'd have been a church member sometime and I'd been my pastor, I'd have made a motion to vote me out. I've made some royal blunders. Oh, yes, I have. I've hurt people that I didn't really mean to hurt. But I hurt them. I hurt them. With my stupidity and my ignorance, I hurt them. But somehow God, in His grace and in His mercy, He got me over it, He got them over it, and we got over the hump. God helped us with our blunders. You may be here today, you may feel like the worst failure ever lived. You may feel like you ain't got no business ever getting back in the pulpit or ever singing a song again or ever teaching a Sunday school lesson. You made such a blunder. But I want to tell some, God helped you this far. I don't care if I stagger. out of the pulpit every time I preach. I said, Lord, I wished I could do better. But you've got to keep at it. You've got to keep at it. He's helped us with our blessings this far. He's blessed us. I heard that song a minute ago. I'm about to close. I ain't preached out just half of the message, but Sister Rackley, you started singing a while ago, I'm drinking from a saucer. My cup's just overflowed. I remember when we got married. I don't know why I've been personal tonight. I just feel like that's what God had me do tonight. We got married and moved into a little 10-foot wide by 40-foot long trailer. It was so little you couldn't whoop a cat. Well, no use of arguing. One move and somebody got killed. It was that small. But I was happy. Started pastoring a little old church. Had no bathroom in it. Had outdoor jobs. But I was happy. Driving an old Maverick about 120,000 miles on it. Started up a hill. I got to where I dreaded to go to church and that car dreaded it worse than I did. Started up that hill and that thing goes sputtering and stuttering. And you get up top of the hill and then you finally make it to the other side. But I never dreamed I'd have a church that someday would support you full time. Well, you don't have to get out of bed at 5 o'clock like some of them do and go to job every morning and get in and out of this hot 100-degree sun. And they pay you to come over here and sit in a meeting and get fed a little bit. Are you listening to me? And driving good vehicles and good clothes. Why I'm personal, I'm honest. I don't preach like this all the time. My wife and I started going out, we were both poor. I mean, son, we was poor. When I started preaching, I'd ask her to go with me. We courted for 8 months and had 2 dates other than going to church. All we ever went to church. We'd stop at a little old store. And all I had in my pocket was enough money to buy a little pack of Jimmy Dean sausage biscuits in a cellophane pack that you put in a microwave and warmed up. I'm telling you the truth. And a bottle of water. And we'd put them 2 biscuits in that microwave at that little store and warm them up. And she'd eat one, I'd eat one. God, but I wasn't lucky to get a woman like that. Well, you imagine they taking a girl out and giving her a Jimmy Dean sausage biscuit. She'd shoot you on the spot. We didn't have nothing. And sometime back, I was sitting in a restaurant eating a meal. It cost $12. And I got to crying. And I looked back to a day that I couldn't have bought a $12 meal if my life had depended on it. But God's helped me this far. Every suit I owned, just about somebody at the church bought me and said, Preacher, you bought some of them for me. Said, Preacher, we want you looking good. I knew what it was all about. You'll look bad and they want to try to fix me up. Do you ever believe God bless you the way He's blessed you, Brother Rob? I preached when you was right down there in that. I preached revival for you right down there in that fellowship hall. You was burnt out. Look around you. That looked like a bad day a few years ago, didn't it? We sat right over there in what used to be that old Parsons Square right up there somewhere. You sat there and cried. You said, Preacher, I don't know if we'll ever get built back. The difficulty we're having. But look what you got tonight. Look what you got. Samuel said, and I'm about done here. Samuel said, I think I'll just raise my Ebenezer. I think I'll just go ahead and set it up there as a statement of faith. And God's helped us here to this far. And I think I'll set it up as not only a statement of faith, but as a sign for the next generation to follow. God helped us this far. I want to leave the next generation a sign that says, God helped me, and God helped Brother Rudith, and God helped Brother Chapman, and God helped you, and God helped the next, and God helped the next. And when they come down, they can say, look what God done for them. And if God do it for them, God can do it for the next generation. God can help the next bunch that's coming down this way. It's a statement of faith. It was a sign to follow. And lastly, it was a symbol of fear. It reminded them that a people that forsake God, God will forsake them. Let's stand to pray. Someone come to the instruments, please. Brother Robert, you come on. You here tonight fighting a battle. It seems like you're never going to win it. You've tried and tried and tried again. You're here, oh, such a load on you. Burdens and battles. Won't you come tonight while Sister Rackley sings? Won't you come tonight and say, God, I want to make a statement of faith. I want to raise mine Ebenezer tonight that you're going to help me. Lord, I'm going to put my confidence in you that you're going to help me. Father, in Jesus' name, give us grace. Please help us, Lord. May this message have been more than just words. Please help us with it, I pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed while Sister Rackley sings, they play. Would you come? Would you come? You got battles? You got burdens? Church problems? Marriage problems? Children driving you crazy? Heartaches all around you?
You've given me all my desires.
He's helped us this far.
There's not one thing.
He's helped us this far.
Undone.
He can help you tonight.
You've
God can help you this evening.
With the
he can help you.
And woke me with
hitherto, as the Lord helped us. Hitherto, as the Lord helped us.
But I can say the same for me. I felt you from the start.
Satan, if you'll take that step of faith, make that
your
statement of faith.
Grace,
Lord, you have helped me
where
before.
Would
God, I'm
going
to depend on you to help me again.
If it wasn't for your mercy, I'd be lost in a forsaken sea. You're mine today, you're mine tomorrow. You're my hope, my destiny. If it wasn't for your grace, where would I be?
work this way. I believe we've heard from the Lord. Thank God He's helped us to this point. He's helped us thus far. Amen. All hearts and minds clear before we're dismissed. I hope you'll go by and shake Brother Mullen's hand. Tell him you appreciate the message. We give God the glory. Appreciate Him speaking to my heart today. All right. We're going to make our way over to the fellowship building in just a moment. If you would, it doesn't matter which way you go, but down by the railroad tracks is the main entrance down into the fellowship hall. And if you'll make your way down there and go in that bottom door, and of course just form a line there. If the bottom portion of the fellowship hall fills up, we've got an upper level with tables set up there also. You're welcome to go upstairs and make use of that. Most of the time we can seat most of our guests downstairs, make it more convenient for you, and most of our folks will probably sit upstairs. But we'll go ahead and ask the blessing here. Anybody have anything before we're dismissed? Again, if you have any problems with your motel or need anything at all while you're...